Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be free.
It is 9:44. And this is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Happy Palm Sunday. We continue now with the Week in Health. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Good morning to you, Dr. Silver.
Good morning, sir. How are you, Dean?
Doing very well. Wanted to start off with a story that we reported, I think it was Friday morning. It had been released that actor Eric Dane, who starred on Grey's Anatomy, he is part of the show Euphoria, now announced that he has amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. He says, "I feel fortunate I'm able to continue working and look forward to returning to the set of Euphoria next week. I ask for privacy at this time." Can you talk to me a little bit about Lou Gehrig's disease or ALS, what it is, what are symptoms? We know, you know, the story obviously from Lou Gehrig, the baseball player, but so many people have suffered from this. I learned quite a bit about it from my many decades of co-hosting the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon. It is a neuromuscular disease, is it not?
It is, Dean. It's a horrible disease. You know, people often think of that final speech where Gehrig says, "Today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth."
Right.
And, you know, it's just the irony of that, because it is a horribly unlucky disease. It is a motor neuron disease. And what that simply means is you have two types of nerves in your body, essentially. Nerves that sense. So they take in information from the environment and tell you, you know, if you're feeling cold or hot, if something is soft on your skin or prickly. And then you have nerves that are motor nerves, which tell your body to do things, you know, tell your hand to grip the pencil or tell your mouth to speak. And so it's those motor nerves that are primarily effective. And it's a slow progressive degeneration of those nerves. I guess slow is, I guess, in the eye of the beholder, but we don't have a cure, unfortunately, and the life expectancy, it does range, but the average person that contracts ALS, it's going to be between 2 and 5 years. So that's, you know, not a great prognosis, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know if there's been new research or, you know, progress that has been made, but I've known people who have had ALS. I bet I've known them for like 20 years, which I think is unusual, right? For somebody to have been diagnosed and to be, you know, functioning, perfectly functioning since then. Or maybe it's just that everyone's different, I guess.
Around 10% of people that contracted live for over 10 years. So that is sort of the bright side of things. You think about Stephen Hawking, that was the gentleman in the wheelchair with the electronic voice. So he, you know, he lived over 20 years. So you can certainly learn to live with the disease, but again, you know, that's the exception, not the rule.
How does one contract amyotrophic lateral sclerosis?
Well, we don't know. We really don't know. There's generally thought to be two ways of getting the disease. One is the sporadic pathway. And that's thought to be 90% of at least cases in the U.S. where there's not a clear cause. And then the other 10% have classically been filed under the familial bucket or genetic or inherited. But we know that it's not contagious, number one. And number two, we truly don't know where it comes from. And it may be more genetically related than we think. We may just kind of not know all the various ways that the genes can kind of play into it. So I think still very much a black box, and we don't know a whole lot about it.
Now, Eric Dane is 52 years old, functioning. He's returning to work next week. Is that unusual for somebody that age to get it? Is there an age where you're more likely than another to show symptoms?
Yeah, so he's right kind of in the middle of the road there. The average age of diagnosis is around 55. Most people are diagnosed between the ages of 40 and 70, although it can be diagnosed in younger people in their 20s or 30s. But yes, initially it may be kind of mild. He may have had kind of a subtle symptom, went to the doctor, ended up going down the rabbit hole of a workup, and then they made the diagnosis, which, by the way, is a tricky diagnosis to make. It does or can mimic a variety of other conditions. So I guess in the sense that they caught it early and he's still functional is a good thing, but I think it doesn't play necessarily into his long-term health. How fast it's going to kind of unravel, we just don't know.
Yeah, and it's just a breakdown of your ability to control the muscles in your body, both, muscles in your arms and legs, we think about, but the subtle muscles that control your voice and swallowing and, as you said, the motor functions. It's a slow breakdown of that until you're just not able to function anymore. Correct?
That's it. It's pretty brutal because that's kind of how it goes. You just sort of disintegrate from a function standpoint. But my heart goes out to the guy, and my hope is that as we get further down the road, that research kind of takes us in a direction of treatment or cure. A ways away from that.
Yeah. Very sad that there still is no cure, and it's not even close to really changing very much. I want to get right to phone calls and texts because we've got lots of them already on the phone line, and that includes Joel, who is on our phone line at 312-981-7200. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Yes, good morning. I'm 86 and I have an autoimmune condition. Through a series of mistakes, I got two COVID shots within 10 days.
Whoops.
How much trouble am I in, if
Whoops.
Any?
Whoops.
It's terrible.
Hey, Joel, thanks for the question. I guess, but I would ask, when did this happen, if you're able to share that?
Well, it just happened over the past 10 days. I got the recent shot on Friday, and it was a series of mistakes, and I'm right in the middle of all of them. But I have to blame it on my 86 years of life, and I messed up. And I'm just wondering what I'm in for.
Yeah, any serious repercussions as a result of that, Doc?
Yeah, one is that in terms of the safety, the risks are actually pretty low. The effectiveness of the dose may be less, and that's kind of the biggest risk is that that you don't get the coverage that you thought you would, and that's going to be difficult to track. We won't ever really know that. It's just kind of an underlying risk, and there's no evidence that I've read of that that for someone with an autoimmune disease, perhaps you have a flare of your underlying condition, and we don't have to get into the specifics of your particular disease state. But what I would say is be on the lookout for a flare of your underlying chronic disease. And certainly if you start having symptoms that could be consistent with that, maybe talk to your autoimmune doctor, whoever that is, whether it's a rheumatologist or your primary care doctor, just to think about how you might go about treating it. So it happened. But I think the risk, again, I think is very low that anything bad is going to occur.
What does a flare mean?
Yeah, so a flare would just be when you have a chronic disease, particularly people with autoimmune diseases, they have episodes where the autoimmune disease essentially flares up or they have significant symptoms of that disease. So I'll give an example. If you have a rheumatoid arthritis, for instance, and you have a rheumatoid arthritis flare, you might wake up with swollen knuckles, painful joints, fever, body aches, that sort of thing. And folks that have the disease typically know what that means and know when to call their doctor about it.
All right. I hope that helps you out, Joel. It sounds like you're going to do okay. Appreciate,
yes.
Yeah, appreciate your call. And we'll take more for Dr. Silver when we come right back from the 847 area code. 224. Dr. Silver, what are the early symptoms of Lou Gehrig's disease?
A tough question to ask. They're so generic, or certainly crossover with other, as I mentioned, other conditions, but weakness in a limb, so weakness in your arms and leg, or difficulty swallowing, twitching in a limb could be associated with it, and certainly clumsiness, you know, if you're dropping your keys or having trouble with, you know, regular day-to-day type activities of dexterity that suddenly become difficult, that would be a concern. And then on the sort of systemic side, sort of general symptoms, fatigue or even broad swings in mood or emotions. So it's very tricky to diagnose. But certainly if you see something, say something. If you're feeling funny or you notice that your loved one is having unusual symptoms, definitely good idea to get it checked out.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid, but always good to talk to you. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Sunday. Doc, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Dean.